The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey guys, so I'm glad you came out on this boat with me.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah, so did you guys bring like fishing gear or some snacks or anything?
I brought like a water bottle.
I brought a life jacket.
Okay, I mean, those are two good things to bring, I guess, but...
Why'd you bring us out here?
Oh, right, okay, so we did a podcast about Lake Placid. Have you seen that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah, so the whole thing is like on this lake, and so I thought I'd bring you guys out here on this lake, okay. And we would do an intro for the show.
And you also thought we'd bring snacks?
I was hoping you brought snacks because I forgot.
Wait, we're just doing an intro?
Yep.
We bought like flights out here and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Lake Placid.
It was like a whole thing we had to row out here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know it was a little much, but I just,
you
I
didn't
don't know.
Even help us row.
Well, I was tired at that point because I didn't sleep on the plane.
Well, I was tired just because I'm a weak person. Mm-hmm. I get tired.
Me too.
Quickly.
Well, I didn't know that. You guys look so, you know, rough and tough.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. But I mean, I'm glad that we're here and, you know, now we can pretty much do whatever we want because the intro is basically over.
Well, what do you do on a boat with just a life jacket?
And a water.
We could sing songs. You guys like Bare Naked Ladies?
No.
No.
Oh.
Are there alligators here?
I don't know. Maybe.
Wait, there might be alligators here?
I did very little.
Well, what's prep. That? What's that right there?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Row. Guys, row. You guys row.
No, I'm tired.
Bad science. Right, bad science, or will we have to fight?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Bad Science. I am your host, Ethan Edinburgh. Today, we're talking about a classic award-winning film called Lake Placid. I have two wonderful guests with me, of course. First of all, I'd like to introduce Dr. Greg Pauly, the Associate Curator of Herpetology at the Natural History Museum.
Woo!
Yeah, Greg!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doctor in the house.
What a fantastic audience.
Yeah, we're psyched up.
Well,
how's it going, Greg? How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
I'm doing very well. It's good to see you.
Thank you.
Also with me is a wonderful comedian. We've been now hanging out for about half an hour talking about hummus and guacamole. It's Zach Noe Towers.
What's up? Hey.
Nothing? I mean, we were such a good audience.
Oh, he's like, I'm not impressed.
Whatever.
I feel bad that I missed the conversation about hummus and guacamole.
Oh, did you ever? We were basically slamming store-bought hummus
right.
and celebrating Ethan's dad's recipe.
Yes.
Which I've never had, but I have faith in.
I think it's just natural homemade hummus. You need to go fresh. That's all I'm saying. The store-bought
totally.
Stuff is not the same.
We had a sidebar about guac. You can't do store-bought guac.
Store-bought guac is a disaster zone.
It's insane. Zone. You're supposed to watch guacamole spoil in front of your eyes.
Yes. As you're eating it, there's always a little bit at the end that's a little brown, and you know I had the good guac.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, I'm going to finish that on Thursday. Bitch,
nope.
No.
Throw
it'll
out.
It'll be, brown slime.
I feel like as people living in Southern California, we might be slightly biased because we have such great access
okay,
to
fair
avocados.
Enough. But what about
it's
hummus?
Like, I feel like someone's in North Dakota, and it's like their only option
well,
is store-bought.
Well, people in North Dakota have never had hummus before, bro.
Yeah, that's true. They don't even know what that is. Let me ask you this, though. This is really the most important Lake Placid-related question to start with. Hummus or guacamole? If you had to pick one, what are you going with?
Well, this is actually, I hate to admit this, but I'm actually allergic to avocados.
Me too.
Oh, whoa.
I'm mildly allergic. My mouth gets itchy and like my tongue, like my whole mouth just gets incredibly itchy. So I'll eat it, but I
You'll
won't
regret it.
Seek it out. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's how it started for me.
And, oh no.
But guacamole is so good that I continued to eat like just a few chips worth of guacamole. And now if I have like two chips
oh my God.
Of guacamole, I'll get the same mouth issue, but
mouth
then my
itching?
Esophagus swells up a little bit and gets so uncomfortable that it's no longer worth it.
I've heard this, that allergies like build up over time, and all of a sudden one day your throat could close up.
Oh my God, I'm terrified by this.
Yeah, this is definitely worse than a 30-foot crocodile.
Both green.
I don't know, man. Both green, both scary.
Yeah, that's about, I was going to say hummus too, if only because hummus also comes in so many varieties.
Yes.
And I'm a variety
guy. I love guac, but yeah, if I had to answer, I'm going hummus strong.
For sure.
I think you can have it any time of the day.
Goes with so many things.
Yeah, you can have it on pita, you can have it with carrots. I mean, get
sexually.
Real. Yeah, you can have it during sex.
As a lubricant.
but okay, let me start here. What, did you guys see this movie for the pod for the first time, or had you seen it before? Give me your Lake Placid experience.
I don't know when I first saw Lake Placid, but I saw the movie in its entirety within a few years of it coming out. I wish I could say I saw it in the theater.
So probably early 2000s.
Probably early 2000s, and I have not seen it in at least 15 years.
Right, because why would you do that?
Oh, I'm going to put it on my list of, like, watch every couple of years. I love this
revisit
movie.
You love this movie.
I remembered that I loved this movie, and I watched it again, and I was like, how come it's been 15 years since I watched this movie? This movie's fantastic.
That's so funny. So, kind of similarly,
yeah, when you walked in, I was going to say, you really enjoyed the film, too, it seemed.
I had fond memories of it. Like, I saw it in theaters, for sure.
Oh, you win.
Oh, definitely. I've always been a movie person. I love movies. So,
sure.
Like, I feel like this is around Anaconda time, too.
Yeah, it had to be.
But I was, like, a young teen, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those dropped off in the movie theater, you know, picked up from the movie theater. But I loved it. I forgot so many elements of this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Betty White being the main one.
Yeah,
when
Betty
I saw
White.
Her name in the credit, I was like, what?
Is that a joke?
Yeah. It was like a blackout memory coming back. You know?
And that's what I remembered of the movie. In fact, like the only Betty thing White. I remembered of the movie was Betty White.
Damn.
With the absolute I don't want to cut too far forward, but
I mean,
the absolute fantastic scene where she's feeding the cow to the crocodile.
Fantastic.
And I remembered that clear as day, I remembered that, and I just remembered none of the rest of the movie.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, I'm going to play, I guess, devil's advocate here to you guys, because I thought this movie was ridiculous. I thought it was barely a film, if I can say that.
Same, and I want to agree again.
okay.
But I love that about it.
Yeah, it was fun. There's certain moments in these movies, and I want to say these movies like horror movies, because I think there is, you know, an ongoing, because it's categorized as like horror romance comedy.
What?
Yeah.
Wait,
that's,
where's the romance? Is Betty White and the alligator?
No.
I don't think so. Bill Pullman
there's some, I wouldn't say romance, but there's a little sexual tension going on.
I guess it starts because she has her office fling disaster happen.
Yes, which is so funny, by the way, the exposition there explained by her friend or whatever. That was so funny to me.
Yeah, it's amazing.
But a lot of the dialogue, I just felt like it was not, like, if they had them improvise, it would have been so much better, probably,
sure,
than what they were actually saying. Because a lot of, there were certain lines where I was just, I wanted to laugh and I wanted to enjoy it in the way that you enjoy a bad film for being bad. But it was just in this weird gray area of, like, it's not terrible. It's not like bad grammar or like really bad delivery. Like the acting is pretty good.
Yeah.
And yet there's, I don't know, there's lines where like Oliver Platt says like, you have boobs, or there's lines like that where I just didn't know what to do
feel. Sure.
Yeah. So it was a weird experience
for
me.
That's how I felt about, did you see The Meg? I keep bringing up The Meg.
I have not seen The Meg.
It's like, I wanted it to be Lake Placid, which I thought was kind of kooky and stupid.
Yeah.
But The Meg totally fell into this gray zone where it was like very like structured, but like in this awkward, like predictable way, and like nothing was fun about it.
This movie was definitely fun. They were definitely the whole time like, we know we're making a silly film.
Yeah.
Come along with us a little
bit.
Big
alligator, yeah.
And I think that's the key to me, is like, if you're the kind of, like, if you go into this movie thinking like this is going to be a blockbuster movie, like you're not going to hate it.
Right.
But if you're into those movies, like that's the genre of like, okay, there's some weird animal situation.
Yeah.
And then these weird animals terrorize a small town, possibly because of some government conspiracy that went awry.
Sure.
And so if that's the kind of stuff that you're into, like if you're into like the Tremors, Anaconda.
Yeah.
There's a fantastic, I mean, fantastic in the sense that I love this movie. There's this movie called Bats, which has Lou Diamond Phillips in it.
Ooh, I've not heard of Bats.
Which is about the U.S. military modifying these bats to somehow being used for, I don't know,
this sounds good.
Or something. And then they escape from, let's pretend it was New Mexico, and start rampaging this town. And Lou Diamond Phillips is the sheriff. And then there's this wildlife biologist who comes in who, like, so many.
Same formula.
The same formula, right? And then the wildlife biologist, if the wildlife biologist is female, is this very attractive woman.
Sure.
Of course.
And, you know, and it's like the same. You know, and if you're into, rich, like, those kinds of movies, those, like, ridiculous, spoofy movies, then you're going to. You're also going
to
like Lake
I just
Placid.
Wanted it to be cranked up more,
totally.
I guess. It
I
was
get it.
Not enough for me. It was a little more mild than I thought that it should be. Like, Anaconda, by the way, great example. I've seen that movie a bunch of times. When I was little, I don't know why I watched it a lot. Maybe it was just on. But there's so much chaos in that movie. And all the characters are turned up to 10.
Sure.
They're all
also,
ridiculous.
Some of the worst CGI of any film that's ever been made.
Yeah.
Which
right?
does not detract from the movie necessarily.
No, I think it kind of matches. Yeah, it kind of makes sense in a weird way. But I wanted to make fun of the writing like I did a little bit earlier. But then I looked up this guy, David E. Kelly. Do you guys know who this is?
I know that name.
Yes, wait, exactly.
It's not like a Friends writer, is it?
I don't. Maybe, probably he wrote on Friends. Because as I looked it up, I don't know what year.
He like wrote on everything.
He was like a lawyer first. And then he decided. Like, oh, I'm gonna like move to Hollywood and get into show business, I guess, at some point.
And he did.
And destroyed. He created Picket Fences, Chicago Hope, The Practice, Ally McBeal, Boston Public, Boston Legal,
my.
Big Little Lies. I mean, he's like
Big Little Lies?
He's created and written and like been the showrunner for so much. He's the only, not the only, but it said one of very few screenwriters to have created shows that aired on all top four commercial U.S. television networks, ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC.
And he wrote
it's a powerhouse.
And he wrote
Lake Placid.
Get out.
Yeah, it's one of the few movies that he wrote.
Oh my God.
So I realized, because again, I was initially going to be like, oh my God, what is this? Who did this? What a mess. And then I realized, like, you know what? This dude was probably just like on vacation,
scribbling on a
some shit, drunk, because he writes long form, like on a yellow pad, and just said, like, whatever. This is a weird
thing.
Horror comedy, whatever the fuck. Make it if you want. And then they all made, and he produced it, and it all came together, and it made a bunch of money. So
there's five sequels to it.
Yeah.
It's a franchise.
I wonder how much role any of these people had in those sequels, though.
Little to none, I would imagine.
They didn't even open the invite to the party.
I'm not sure there was a party for some of those.
Right, fair.
But if
Lake
you also
Placid
look,
a get-together.
I mean, for Lake Placid, you look at the list of actors in this movie, and there's really amazing, incredibly talented people.
Absolutely, yeah. Love Bill Pullman,
Oliver Platt. Betty White.
Betty White. What's the guy's name, though? I should have it in front of me, of course, but I don't. But the dude.
The sheriff.
Yes,
the
he's
sheriff.
In Gangs in New York and like 28 Weeks Later.
Is.
Stuff.
Yeah. He
I love
huge,
that guy.
He's like a head honcho in Gangs of New York.
Listening to this, I'm sure you're saying, like, it's this guy.
Yeah,
what's wrong with you? But
it must be painful.
Anyways, he's awesome, and I think he's great. So interesting. We all sort of like the movie. In one respect or another, we're fans of Lake Placid.
Minus you.
I am on the fence.
I'm a huge fan.
I wanted a little more.
And then I'm on the fence because he's a huge fan. You're meh. I'm definitely in the middle.
Okay, great.
I was not mad watching it.
Okay.
I think that says a lot about a movie that you're revisiting.
This. I was entertained watching it. I wasn't upset watching the film. I just, for some reason, thought there was going to be more attacks.
Like lean into
or,
the,
yeah.
I agree with that.
Okay.
But there were some really high quality attacks.
Sure.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, there were some great
and
decapitations.
And lots of practical effects. Anytime there was a lull, they threw Bridget's ass into the water. And I really respected that.
Yeah. I was going to say from, just the female main character scenario here that they're setting up here, she is just... they made her very annoying and, like, complainy. Over the top, I think, right? That was unnecessary to make that character. So she was very one-dimensional.
Yes.
And unfairly so. That's actually my biggest complaint about the film is that, I mean, look, I'm a curator at a natural history museum. This is supposed to be a curator at a natural history museum in New York. Well, there's one really, really, really big famous natural history museum in New York. That's the American Museum of Natural History. So more or less, this is like a curator from the American Museum of Natural History. And somehow you're taking a paleontologist and you're supposed to suggest that they're not comfortable being in a tent or they're not comfortable being in the field or they're scared of mosquitoes. And it bothered me that it was this like stereotype of like a woman in the woods, because the reality is you take you know, a female curator from a major natural history museum, and she's going to be a badass in the woods.
Right. Yeah.
And
which is,
gonna,
I would have loved to
she's
see.
Gonna like, she's going to be, you know, the person with like the most natural history knowledge about these animals.
Yes.
And she's going to be amazing at camping, and she's going to be amazing at field work.
Yeah.
And they didn't play up any of that. She could have been She could have been this like incredibly attractive,
she should have been more
brilliant,
like,
amazing
Oliver Platt's character. This guy came in randomly into the film without any explanation, really. And he's the one that has this tech, and he's knowledgeable about the crocodiles. And she's just kind of like, I don't really want to be here,
and
but
with, damsel in distress.
Yes, exactly. And with no credentials, they allow him to sort of do his, like, you know, here's the man with the money. Yeah. We're going to listen to what he says. Whereas, you know, why not play up the fact that you actually have this scientist,
right,
there,
a specialist,
who really should be like the super knowledgeable
ahead
person
of the ahead of the group.
Big time, bossing people around.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would have loved that. And
so
then the other female character, who's very small, is this like officer woman, and she's just wants to have sex with
she's
Oliver Platt.
Prop.
Yeah, that's it. So I thought that was weak.
Very weak.
Okay. Yeah, that was.
It's not
and then,
a great
and then
film
the earlier, and then the earlier woman in there, Mariska Hargitay, her character, as, again back at the museum, and again like nothing but involved in some, you know, behind the scenes,
behind the scenes,
it office
would fail
romance.
The Bechdel test.
And so,
yeah, 99,
really,
no one cared. I
like,
guess
that the most frustrating thing about the about this movie is like how harsh they are toward their female characters, with the exception of Betty White.
I was gonna say Betty White
to be
is
amazing.
Yeah, Betty White is good. Good call.
Claims she killed her husband. Wait, and did she
and lies to the cops, like,
no, she said that was a lie.
Yeah.
She lied to the cops about killing her husband.
Okay,
she had not actually killed her husband.
But the alligator ate him?
Yeah, the crocodile took out.
I was
out.
In and out a little bit of the.
That's totally fine.
Yeah.
If you were following intensely, I'd be more worried.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, that's so unfair.
Just saying.
I thought, look, the movie's like, what, 85 minutes or something?
It is.
I think I laughed out loud.
It's just long
enough
to be a
movie. Four or five times.
Yeah.
It's not, I wouldn't call it a horror movie. It's just, I mean, I think if you're into that genre of like these weird animal movies, this one
is
it's
a not a horror, it's a
comedy.
Weird animal movie.
Yeah, totally.
That's what they were going for.
It's like Tremors is not.
Oh, Tremors is
Tremors
so
is not a horror movie. It's a comedy. How are you not
Tremors?
Laughing?
Yeah.
That, you know?
Tremors is good. It's fun.
Yeah.
And this movie was fun too. I'm not trying to crap on it.
No.
It was fun. It was just a little, a little weak. I wanted a little more from it. I don't know how else to say it better.
Yeah.
This was kind of funny to me, and I don't know if you even know the answer to this, but
I'll make one
the
up.
great
Bill Pullman's character is part of the Fish and Game. I don't know what they are called. Commission.
Well, it varies by state. So he's supposed to be part of the Maine Fish and Game.
Maine
so
Fish
here,
and Game.
So here in California, we used to have the California Department of Fish and Game.
Oh.
A few years ago, they changed their name to the California Department of Fish and Wildlife because their mandate was to manage basically all of the state's species, not just the game species.
Okay.
But historically, those state departments were mostly focused on game, so they're thinking mostly about things like deer. Or if it's Maine, you're thinking about deer. You know, elk, maybe some of the fur-bearing species like beaver, muskrat, et cetera.
Okay.
In most states, I think every state in the U.S. has a state like Fish and Game or Fish and Wildlife office. You also saw them, like Bill Pullman was on the phone with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife. So that would be the federal agency responsible for wildlife issues.
Okay.
And then you also had like the state sheriff or the county sheriff involved. So you had like a bunch of different levels of law enforcement all involved in this.
Yeah. So I thought it was funny that he came in as this, I don't know, odd outfield guy and kind of was like, well, I'm running the game because it has to do with a fish. And he's like, well,
and
I'm the police.
In the water.
But like, that's actually
my jurisdiction.
But that's basically right. So what you had is, you know, you had an incident where, so the whole movie is starting off, right, where the croc ends up taking out this guy who's there studying.
Looking for beavers, which is like the cutest job ever.
That guy had it made.
Yeah.
Until he lost the lower half of his body to a crocodile.
Also, could he? I feel like he delivered a full line of dialogue as just a torso. Is that possible?
Did he?
I'm pretty sure.
I can't tell in the water. So he's trying to claw up on the boat. The crocodile has him by or to sort of like pelvis down. And then when he comes out of the water onto the boat, when the sheriff lifts him out of the water, it's just a torso
him,
and a
I'm
head.
I'm pretty sure they're talking to each other.
And he's, I don't know, I was actually looking for that too. And then he just sort of expires there, like clearly trying to get something out.
Yeah, yeah.
Which clearly has so much damage. I mean, you could certainly lose your legs and still be able to speak.
I think you can be okay.
But your diaphragm.
Very real. Can I say that?
Yeah, yeah.
It looks surprisingly good for what I figured was not an insanely large
budget. I wonder
if they
really killed that background actor or that small bit man.
Sorry, man. You had to do it for the film. Yeah. so that's one of the things I wanted to ask you about. That, like, are scuba divers ever attacked, do you know of, by, you know, crocodiles or anything like that?
I don't know of any specific cases, but I can't imagine why it wouldn't occasionally happen.
Okay.
What's the biggest threat in a lake?
Driving to and from the lake.
Oh, wow. Oh, really? Oh, so it's super safe in the lake.
I mean, if you're, yeah, in most cases, you know, well, the things that we fear, right? I mean, these movies take
water
advantage
snakes.
Of these, like, ridiculous
for the
fears.
Water snakes.
Yeah.
But this is Maine. There's no venomous aquatic snakes in Maine. Okay. So the venomous snakes that you'd be thinking about would be, like, things like copperheads and cottonmouths, but they don't get that far north. So they're not even in Maine.
Okay.
So there's no worry there. So, I mean, sure, the biggest worry is probably something like drowning or a boating accident in terms of once you're on the water. Mm. But the reality, I mean, statistically, the most dangerous thing is getting to and from the boat dock, to and from the boat dock. That's undoubtedly...
It's crazy.
We are really bad as humans of sort of thinking about these things from a statistical perspective and, like, recognizing risks in a realistic way.
Right.
Without a doubt,
I mean,
the most risky thing we do is we drive, you know, for most of these things. Once you're out doing this stuff on the water, yeah, it's not that risky.
Do you drive?
I drove just here, you know, driving in L.A., that's probably...
I rode a motorcycle in L.A. for 8 years.
Whoa, really?
Just a motorcycle. That's
and
all
you're
I had
still
until
here.
This, I know, but I don't know why or how.
Wow, lucky dude.
Yeah.
Okay. You just said that the poisonous or venomous snakes don't get that high north, and that was something they repeated in the film a couple times.
Yeah, maybe that's a ridiculous point for this film, because crocodiles don't get anywhere near... Maine either, so.
Okay, because, yeah, somebody, I don't remember, I think it was the sheriff who said, like, how could he possibly get this far north? And so I was, curious if crocodiles do get that far north, or how far do they get?
Yeah, so there's this fantastic line, and I forget actually who says it, but I was so impressed that they actually had this natural history knowledge in there, that somebody, I think it's the Oliver Platt character says this.
Uh-oh.
He says, "Oh, as long as their nostrils don't freeze, they survive."
Mm.
And I was like, "Whoa, that's actually basically true, except it's not true for all crocodilians."
Crocodilians.
So if you just think of like,
let's pause there for a second. What's a crocodilian?
So crocodilians is sort of the big group name for all the species of that are sort of alligators, crocodiles. There's a thing called the gharial. And this other group called the caimans. And there's, in total, like what we have around today are 23 species of crocodilians.
Wow.
And in the crocodiles themselves, which make up the vast majority of those species, are really tropical. So the northernmost crocodiles in the United States, mm-hmm. which is the American crocodile, and that's found throughout...
Florida?
Well, the furthest north they get is actually in Florida. But even the northernmost populations in Florida, they're mostly congregated around the outflow of a nuclear plant. So they're hanging out in like this bathtub water. And that's probably why their numbers are so much higher, is that they're actually exposed to this higher temperature water. And they're hanging out there. And otherwise, there's very few. There's really only like, I think at this point, something like 200 or 300 crocodiles in Florida waters. And then you see them down throughout, you know, the Caribbean and along the Gulf of Mexico and through parts of northern South America.
And so wait,
and
they
that's
hang
as far
out
north
towards
as the
north
get.
Near nuclear power plants so the waters we warmer?
Yeah. So this is not that uncommon for a variety of species. So the northernmost limits that where they're facing kind of the coldest temperatures that they can deal with, right? Uh-huh. It turns out that for the crocodile right now is in South Florida. And it just so happens that there's a nuclear power plant, and that nuclear power plant uses ocean water to cool some of its generators.
Oh.
And so when that water gets piped back out, it's quite warm.
Wow.
And so these crocodiles have figured that out, and so they're hanging out in that warmer water.
That
and they're
like
doing
the beginning
really
of a
well
movie
there.
To me.
Yeah,
I mean, that's, you know, how do you get the perfect
nuclear,
recipe
yeah.
for the, you know,
yeah,
nuclear,
radiated.
Mutated yeah. mm-hmm. crocodiles that are going to terrorize
nice.
South Florida.
Spot quality.
Yeah.
As if South Florida needs more sort of non-native crazy animals running around than they already have. So
no, we do. I'm from South Florida, and I can tell you
oh, no.
we need more fucked up reptiles down there to eat dogs.
Yeah,
the pythons.
Some of the people.
And yeah, some people deserve it.
The pythons weren't enough. We're gonna go big and ask for a mutated crocodile.
Yeah, that's
sounds
right.
Sounds good.
Okay,
maybe
so
that'll
then,
solve the Burmese python problem.
So then that sheriff from Gangs of New York
so no,
was
yeah.
right.
No, so he's right, except that that's not true for crocodiles. Crocodiles can never handle temperatures that low, but American alligators can.
Ooh.
And in fact, so if you remember back a few years ago, we had a big freeze in the southeastern U.S. that really did massive damage to the citrus industry, but it also there
we
was
almost
some...
ran out of limes one Coachella.
Yes, that's
one
probably
Coachella ago.
That's probably it. Like
truly,
maybe
I mean,
two,
I
3 years
was,
ago, something like
it
that.
Was scary. It was a scary time.
There's like viral videos of cold shocked iguanas falling from trees.
Oh,
come on, you're from South Florida. Some of this should sound familiar. Anyhow,
yeah, I don't know.
So there's actually so alligators that were in sort of like northern Florida or even further north than that in their native range or sometimes in zoos, you know, their ponds would freeze over. And what alligators do in that situation is they actually manage to keep their snout just above the pond level.
Ooh.
And so their metabolism is going to be super shut down at this point because they're so cold, but they're still
like
able
one
to breathe.
Toddler and get through the winter.
Yeah, they don't have to basically eat at temperatures like that. So they can wait till spring and then start taking out, you know, the poodles and stuff that are coming by on the golf course.
Delicious.
So, but they're actually right that that's how the alligators survive. But crocs can never handle temperatures anywhere close to that.
Okay. So, yeah, that's accurate so far.
Well,
cool.
I mean, you know, wrong species, but there's actually some...
Some validity.
It sounds like somebody, you know, somebody did a little bit of research.
Didn't they say an ocean fed into this lake? Am I crazy? I thought they said the something-something ocean feeds in...
I don't know if they said that specifically, but he did say that this crocodile swam across an ocean.
Okay.
Or like he came here from, yeah, across the world. Or there was some, and it was a few times that was mentioned.
Yeah, it was mentioned multiple times. And the deal, so they claimed that this is what they called it an Asian Pacific crocodile.
Okay.
So there's no
that,
such
like,
thing as
a YouTube video of like
that National Geographic video taken
on that old-ass computer screen
of a Nile
that
crocodile.
That was scary. That was the horror part of the film.
And that was a Nile croc Windows taking out 99. A wildebeest. And that's actually, I mean, that's footage that you can find in National Geographic specials. You can probably find it on YouTube too.
Okay, check that out.
And
guys.
So, but the species that they talk about, they say it's an Asian Pacific, which presumably is taken from the name Indo-Pacific. And
wait, what do you mean taken from the name? That's not a name.
Well,
there is a
crocodile called the Indo-Pacific crocodile, but that's not its most common name. Its most common name is the saltwater croc. So the croc that you get in like northern Australia and throughout much of Southeast Asia is the saltwater croc. And then some people call that the Indo-Pacific croc. Mm. And I think what happened is like they didn't want to call it the saltwater croc because they're in a freshwater lake in Maine.
Yeah.
They didn't want to call it the Indo-Pacific croc because it's a U.S. audience and probably not that many people are familiar with the name Indo-Pacific. Like what's the region of the world that's
going.
Indo-Pacific? And so they're like, we'll just call
it
the Asian-Pacific croc. So it's a made-up name, but it's not that far off of an actual name. So it's based on that saltwater croc. But now you're talking about a species that's found in Southeast Asia.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're saying it somehow swam
all the way
to the like North Atlantic and then up a bunch of freshwater rivers and streams to somehow get to this lake, which is of course preposterous.
What was he running from?
Yeah.
What was he running from?
His old life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not only that, but there's
kids.
But like... there's two of them, right? There's not just
oh my god.
Oh, I spoiler alert. I'm so sorry.
No, please,
there's
that's
two
the whole
of them.
Point here.
I love how kind they were to the one and then the second one, the surprise one, just ruthlessly murdered. Just blown up.
To be honest with you, my favorite joke of the movie.
What?
I thought it was so funny how as soon as the second croc is introduced, they destroy it. They blow it up into a bunch of pieces, and then it's like, well, I'll jump back to one.
Yeah.
That was great.
It was, yeah. It
that was
very...
so funny.
I agree. That was a good line.
Yeah.
Great line.
Oh,
great
no,
move.
There's two. Back to one.
yeah, so
it was a heck of a gun, too. Like, I don't know
what
that was, but that was like a mini grenade launcher.
It blew him up.
Yeah.
I looked it up. It's not a real gun. It's actually an attachment for a gun, and they made up, he says at one point, and I didn't write it down, of course, because I'm a jerk, but they said, like, he says, like, this is a lightweight forward action aim rifle or something like that, which is actually kind of just a joke in and of itself because they're making fun of, like, military jargon because it doesn't make any sense what the hell he said, but that's somehow the name of the gun, and it fires these, like, grenade-type rounds, but it's just an attachment, so it wouldn't actually do that,
right.
And it's supposed to be, I think, based on... some sort of grenade launching thing. But anyways, yeah, they, I don't know. I loved his use of that. I thought that was, you know, a lot of stuff in the film I disagree with, but the idea to just throw in a second Grok, somebody, you know, maybe it was David E. Kelly who was like, this is genius. Yeah, I'm writing this in.
But
seems like someone just threw that out there of like, dude, what if a second Grok comes out at the end?
No, but there has to be, there's got to be two Kroks, right?
Because the baby.
Because you got babies.
Oh, right.
The final scene is Betty White
feeding
the baby. So now we know that there's,
the final scene is the crocodile on a giant flatbed.
Yeah, on a truck.
Oh, true, true,
going
true.
Going down the freeway.
That was
the penultimate scene.
I laughed at that for sure. I thought that was adorable.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Like,
so funny. He's just cruising.
As if you know, some car passing that would be able to just keep driving straight. You know? You're going
past
a 30-foot croc.
They enclose horses and
stuff.
Like, why
just
not?
Open air.
So ridiculous, because they knew, like, this is going to look really funny.
Totally.
And they were right.
Comedy relief. Okay, so because you just said there is a saltwater croc.
There is a saltwater croc.
Okay, because there's a quote in the movie that someone says, crocodiles can't swim in saltwater.
Yeah, that's really
not true.
Wrong.
Great.
There is, in fact, a species called the saltwater croc, and we know actually from relatively recent radio tracking studies that they can move some really impressive distances, like hundreds of kilometers in a matter of a couple days through saltwater, probably taking advantage of things like tides and currents, but we know that they're moving really large distances, and this is mostly work that's being done in northern
Australia.
So wait,
they can move large distances, but they can't come from across the globe?
We don't.
That's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, to get from across the globe, you have to imagine them having to go down into like southern latitudes, right? So really cold places and getting around things like, you know, the southern tip of Africa, or depending on how you want them to somehow magically get here.
They can go on land, right?
Yeah, they're not going to be. Their rate of speed is going to be drastically lowered unless they're on a truck. Which actually is exactly what I think is really what's going on here.
Ooh,
and actually
someone moved it, you're saying?
Oh.
Yes.
Wow.
So what really? I mean, so they interview Betty White. So the sheriff's office, you know, sees Betty White in this absolutely fantastic scene feeding a full-sized dairy cow croc.
It was very liberating. It was very – I love that scene.
That's a fantastic – I mean, and that's also Betty White, which we definitely have not talked about enough because, I mean, that alone, I think –
Can't
makes,
talk about it enough.
Yeah, I mean, that alone just makes this film kind of a winner.
Yeah.
Is you've got Betty White feeding this, you know, dairy cow to this croc.
Yep.
And they see that. They then start interviewing her, and she says, oh, well, you know, there were two of them, and they just kind of followed us home one day. Like, how does that – I mean, that's clearly, you know, Betty White, her character, is lying to the police on a regular basis throughout this.
Yes.
And I think what's really happened is that – and this happens all the time – is that they got themselves a couple of crocs, and they released them.
They overfed
them. And you might think, oh,
they
this is absurd. This never happens.
They went on a trip to the Indo-Pacific region and took these guys.
No, you don't have to do that. You can mail order these things.
What?
Absolutely. And it was way
like
easier.
Like Amazon Prime, some crocs?
Can
I get crocs here by tomorrow?
You know, 40, 50 years ago, it was way easier to do this. But let's not forget, here we
regulated.
Are in L.A.
Yeah.
Here we are in L.A. You go to the L.A. Zoo, and there's Reggie the alligator. Well, where'd Reggie the alligator came from?
The mail.
Basically, yes.
Whoa.
Reggie came from Lake Machado, which is down in San Pedro. So Ken Malloy Harbor Regional Park, there's a big lake down there called Lake Machado. And Reggie the alligator was found in Lake Machado. And in fact, not only was Reggie found there, but when they were pulling out Reggie, who was the bigger one that was found there, they also caught a smaller one, which was about 4 feet long. So here you've got two alligators swimming around Harbor Regional Park here in, you know, southern Los Angeles County. Mm-hmm. And this stuff happens all the time.
Wow.
If you Google, you know, like northern records of alligators, what you find is that lots of urban parks in much more northern cities, like outside of the range of alligators, you'll find these records of alligators that have shown up there. And it's because they were people's pets. They somehow managed to get one.
Why would you want this as a pet? Let's talk about that.
People who own snakes and stuff.
Yeah, like, get over it.
Fuck, you,
what are you
psychopath.
Doing?
Yeah. Yeah, as somebody who owns three snakes.
Oh,
Rick! Come on, man.
They're fantastic pets. They're great
Why
pets.
Are they
They
good
can
pets?
Be great pets.
How?
So you take something like a snake that's going to get a maximum size of, say, 3, 4, 5, 6 feet. You can have in a relatively
big.
Small
Six
tank.
6 feet?
They're absolutely
Nothing
beautiful.
Taller than me is living in my house. Like, period.
You know, you can take, like, I have a snake that's about 5.5 feet long, and I bet weighs something like 3 or 4 pounds. You know, it's this little, it's this elongate.
Thin.
Yeah, super thin.
Okay.
absolutely fantastic.
I'm back
outreach
on board now,
outreach animal.
Oh,
you know,
I love
totally,
I love
totally
things.
Mellow. But that's a very that's really different than say what it would take to keep something like an alligator, which maybe you buy
in
its, you know, 12 inches long, and then 10 years later, it's, you know, 6 feet long,
oh
20 years later, it's 9 feet long, you know, maybe is maxing out at something like 10, 11, 12 feet. That's a big commitment. And so what happens is people buy these things, not recognizing that A, they might very well outlive you.
Yeah.
And B, they're not going to be as friendly as your puppy dog.
Yeah.
And so then they release
them. Puppies all the time too, when they get like big, you know?
Yeah. And this, and you just, I mean, this happens all the time. So anybody who listens to this podcast, go to the nearest pond, like in an urban park, all right?
Okay.
And look around, and I can almost guarantee them what they're going to see. What they're going to see are red-eared slider turtles.
Red-eared slider turtles.
Red-eared slider turtles.
Little hamburger turtles.
It is the, not slider in that sense.
I'm wearing a little In-N-Out hat.
Yeah. It's called a slider because when they're basking on logs, when they get spooked, they slide off the log into the water.
Aww.
That's where the name comes from.
That's adorable.
And they're actually, this
turtles
is the problem, is they are adorable.
Too, though. I don't want to.
Are turtles pointless?
To own.
I just want to know.
They've got a point on the tip of their tail.
Hey.
Clearly they're not.
No, that's...
But they're absolutely adorable when they're young. People buy them. Within a few years, they get big.
Uh-huh.
They can't take care of them anymore. And so they dump them in the nearby pond. And so literally, not just in the U.S., but throughout much of the world, they're introduced to something like 60 countries now entirely because of releases from the pet trade. This happens all the time.
And don't turtles live for like 100
Again,
years?
Because people buy them and aren't ready for the fact that they're going to live 30, 40,
Wouldn't
50, 60 years.
Wouldn't that be a really funny animal horror film when like turtles slowly stalking people?
I like that. I mean, I think people would go see it. That's all I'm saying.
I mean,
horror, like
anybody
killer
who's
turtles?
Interested in that concept, is they should look up myelinated turtles.
Myelinated
turtles are these absolutely amazing land turtles. So they're much more like tortoises.
Okay.
And for the longest time, we thought that they died out millions of years ago. Hmm. And then it actually turns out that somewhere in the South Pacific, and I'm forgetting the island that this occurred on, they actually lived up until probably something like 2,000-3,000 years ago and were actually hunted to extinction by people.
Aww.
And the last remaining myelinated turtle was relatively small, and it was living on sort of this uplifted coral island. And was being eaten by the people who were there.
Oh,
but if you look back at the fossil record, these things look much more like Ankylosaurus. If you remember like your dinosaurs from when you were a kid, Ankylosaurus, big club-tailed thing. Anyhow, myelinated turtles kind of looked like that.
No, I don't know. Wow. Okay.
So that would be a great horror movie. It's like myelinated turtles in the modern day chasing down people.
Okay, sweet.
Sure.
Slowly.
So Zach and I will write the dialogue, and you just keep giving us
scary.
Send it
to David E. Kelly. I'll tweet it one page at a time to David E. Kelly.
One page? You can tweet a whole page?
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
Hey, everyone. This is Jesse David Fox, host of Good One, a podcast about jokes. I am proud to announce that I have personally won the Streaming Wars. And there's a new docu-special on Peacock based on our own Vulture podcast. Good One, a show about jokes, follows Mike Birbiglia as he develops new material, taking audiences through the process of transforming personal stories into stand-up. Featuring interviews with Mike's family and comedy colleagues like Seth Meyers, Hasan Minhaj, and Asko Akatsuka, Good One, a show about jokes, is streaming now only on Peacock.
Okay, so I think we talked about where crocs live. I mean, are they worldwide?
Yeah, they're. I mean,
they're like pit bull.
I'm trying. They're Mr. Worldwide.
So they're what we call like circumtropical, meaning that they're in like tropical parts of the world, but basically all around the globe. So you're getting them in places like Africa. You're getting them in, you know, Southern Asia. You're getting them in India. You're getting them in the Americas.
So circumtropical. And people have them as pets? Sorry to rewind for a second.
Certainly, yeah.
And it's, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, there are alligators are much more common as pets. Some people also have crocodiles as pets. It's not
crocodiles
common.
Are the more aggressive ones, right? That's what I've been told.
I wouldn't even feel comfortable.
Crocodiles are more aggressive?
That's what I'm told.
Is this like the pit bull argument where it's like, are they aggressive or not?
Yeah.
Are crocodiles safer on my baby or not?
Yeah. What should I put around my child? Alligators or crocodiles?
I think that those would both be, you know, bad ideas. I mean, I don't think I would call them aggressive. I mean, it's like calling like a lion or a tiger aggressive. Like, what are you
just doing its thing?
Yeah, it's just doing its thing. So like, what are you unhappy about? Like, you swam in habitat where there are alligators or there are crocodiles.
Yeah.
And then you got chomped. It's like, Well, yeah, guess what? You're prey. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Like, this is what happens.
I can't take a bath with my alligator. He gets so feisty.
I just want to wash him.
Yeah.
I guess the only thing you can say is that there are some species of crocs, like, so there's only so many crocs that get pretty good size, right? And the biggest species of crocs max out at something around 20 feet.
Right.
So saltwater crocs, for example, can get up to about 20 feet. Nile crocs, close to that.
I don't know what I would do if I saw a 20-foot anything.
Probably just take a picture on your phone and get out of there.
Damn. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it'd be, I mean, it's, you know, something that's like 20 feet long and potentially could kill you is really amazing.
How fast can it move?
In the water, I mean, in the water, they can move, you know, in short distances very quickly, but long distances, they're not moving very quickly.
Okay. Right, right.
So, but short bursts, in terms of like being able to grasp something quickly, they're, you know, that's what it's about, right? It's about using stealth to sneak up on it.
And then strike.
Like that wildebeest at the water's edge, and then you just have to propel yourself really quickly,
right?
You know, and grab that thing, and then drag it in, and then all you have to do is drown it. Right? And that's what they're doing. They're just pulling them in and they're
roll,
drowning them.
Right? They grab it and roll?
That's usually after it's already...
I think you're thinking stop, drop, and roll.
No, you're actually right, though. Oh. Is that when... So once it's dead, like for a big thing like that wildebeest, how are you going to tear apart that wildebeest? Well, then what they do is then they roll.
Yeah.
And that's about, like, you know, they don't have cutlery. So
right.
They've got this big mouth, this big strong mouth. They're going to grab something and they're going to roll and they're just going to twist that leg off of it.
Barrel roll.
Or tear that head off the rest of the body or whatever.
Yeah. Wow.
But they mostly do that once it's already in the water. They might also do it when they grab it, but it just varies. Also, you know, for most of these species, you know, you grab the thing. If it's on land, you grab it, you get it back in the water, you drown it.
Drown it.
Right. And you want to kill it as quickly as you can because you don't want it to hurt you. You know, right next to that big, scary mouth or those eyes, you know, you don't want whatever you've grabbed to kick you in the eye.
Yeah.
And then you're blind for the rest of your life. Right.
Oh,
so they've got to think about how do you knock this thing out as quickly as possible and avoid injury?
Speaking of the eyes, I saw that there was like a myth going around that crocodiles cry when they're eating, and then they figured out that it was like they do
they're coming from their eyes.
Yeah,
they're so happy.
It's sperm from the eyes. No, that they do like excrete tears, but it's just like a natural thing that happens when they eat, that it's not related to any emotional.
I've never heard that. It's not.
Yeah, there is.
It's not emotional eating. Like they went through a breakup and it's like the ice cream wildebeest.
Yeah, well, they don't eat that often. So some people thought like, oh, I'm finally eating. I'm so happy about it.
Yeah, there's this whole thing about crocodile tears. And yeah,
right.
they're, and I forget the details of it, but there is actually some functional basis and has nothing to do necessarily with eating.
Okay.
Crocodile tears, though. Band name.
Good band name. Yeah, I'll write that down. And crocodile barrel roll. Yeah, a little long.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the same
that
ring
like
to
a dance
it.
Crocodile death roll would probably be.
Ooh. And now we're talking. See, he's got the ideas.
He does.
We just have to execute. We have to make the metal music for crocodile death roll.
Yeah, you don't want me trying to make any music. That's a bad idea.
All right, we got it. The other one is the bite. I read they have like the strongest bite of any creature, but then also.
Once it's closed, you can hold it with two fingers?
Right, that the jaws are like weak. Is that
well,
true?
Well, it's just about the directionality. Right. So what they want is they want to have massive crushing force.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And for a variety of reasons. One is like you want to be able to grab that prey. Mm-hmm. And if it's something big, you want to be able to drag it in.
That prey.
Welcome to the show, guys.
But they're also, there's lots of, you know, other prey items that are like hard shelled prey items, like turtles, for example. So alligators love to eat turtles. Crocs will eat turtles.
Oh, yeah. So good.
Crabs. Some shelled, like various, you know, shellfish, and they have to crush those. And so you need to have really good bite force to crush those.
Okay.
But there's no functional reason to have lots of strength for opening those jaws.
Right.
And so once they're sort of closed down, it doesn't take that much force to keep them closed.
Okay. I just figured.
That said, I don't think anybody should, you know. Don't be messing around. Don't be testing any of this. Like, put your hands close enough.
Don't try and impress a girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I just thought maybe because, once an animal is crushed and still alive, they could try to break out. That's the, you know, natural instinct, probably.
Sure.
And if it's easy to break out, then, you know.
No, they basically, the same muscles that allow you to close it quickly, you can use to basically keep it in that same, like, keep it more or less
but
closed,
not
right?
Use it to open it again?
Because that's still,
that
like, keeping a tight
mind.
Grip is still about those same sort of muscles in the jaw cinching that closed, like keeping that closed.
Okay.
And then, but what they don't have really, you know, great ability to do is then strongly open that. Because there's no need. All you have to do is be able to open that, say, like in the water.
Right.
So you're just pushing against the water.
I saw that also, that they like sleep with their mouths open and that they have like a specific thing in their mouth that, but I don't know, that like opens it underwater, which is uncommon. Is that true?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, do they sleep like that? Is that, do you know about that?
Open? I sleep with my mouth open.
I don't know. I don't think they sleep with their mouth open. I mean, they're not, right? They're not gilled. They're not, I mean, their air is coming from up above. So they can certainly have their mouth open in the water.
Okay.
Because they can close off. So maybe what you're thinking about is that they can close off the top of the esophagus and the trachea.
Yes.
So they can close off anything that where you'd be worried about, like water getting down into like your lungs, for example.
Down the wrong pipe.
Yeah.
Right.
Down
the, so I've they never can close. Seen a crocodile cough. After drinking something.
That's why they have this like special thing.
So
I
they
guess.
Can close it off.
Happens to me all the time.
And so it wouldn't matter if their mouth was open underwater because you can just close off your trachea and your esophagus, and you're not going to get
more
water down
humans.
Into your system.
Well, than me at least. they mentioned that the crocs don't see well underwater. Is that accurate?
Well, in a lake, nobody does.
I mean, they
live
there.
You ever open your eyes in a lake?
No, I have not.
It's horrifying.
Well, yeah, of course.
So maybe like you should like before you watch the movie, like go swim in a lake, open your eyes,
right,
and then watch the movie.
I just assume if I'm spending most of my time in a lake, I would hope that I can see. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, but think about, I mean, there's two things to seeing, right? There's like how good your actual visual system is, and then there's what you're having to see through.
Sure.
So this is like saying, you know, we humans don't see very well at night. Well, yeah, because it's dark, right? Like, there's not a lot of light there. So same thing. If you're in a murky pond or lake somewhere, there's not that much light. And even if there is a lot of light, you know, because all that light is, you know, it's not getting through all that murk.
It goes like 6 inches and then it quickly goes dark green to like
and then you can't
brown
see,
to
and then
black.
You can't see the crocodiles.
It, and when you're under, it feels like a dead body is about to pop into vision at any moment. That is what it's like.
That's a good philosophy before watching this movie.
Oh my God.
So if you're in a lake and there is a crocodile approaching you, your friend tells you, you know, hey, there's a croc. I see a croc coming at you. Is that the move to like dive down? Because that's not what I would think to do.
Where
I would
less
I would think that if you're in an area where there's crocodiles, your first mistake was probably getting in the water.
Right.
So step one, don't go in places
step
where
one,
like crocs
regret
are in
your
good
move.
Numbers.
Would it be more painful to be eaten by a crocodile or a shark?
That's a great question.
Man, that's tough.
Really stumped.
Wait, doesn't one have two rows of teeth?
Oh, sharks can have multiple rows of teeth, yeah.
Okay,
crocs don't.
Somewhere.
Crocs are going to have one.
But is it more painful?
I mean,
right?
I think in terms of, like you're saying, like, which, like, if it was to kill you, which one's worse?
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, I think, I'm dead at the end of this, I hope.
I think.
I hope.
Yeah. Well, look, because the reality is that for both crocs and sharks, the vast majority of bites do not result in death. Right? The vast majority of bites result in injuries.
Result in a lifetime of trauma.
Yeah. Although Oliver Platt got bit there at the end. He was fine.
Yeah, he just got a little nibble.
Yeah, a little nibble.
Yeah.
I mean, I think for both of them, I mean, I actually think that with the shark, their teeth, for most shark species, their teeth are really sharp. Mm-hmm. And so if it was a massive bite, you would die very quickly as a result of blood loss.
Okay.
And that's probably...
So better.
That's probably less... pain.
And you're in the ocean
and it's
salt
quick.
Going into your
yeah,
wounds,
the salt's
right?
Probably, but that's probably the least of your worries at that point in
really?
Time. I think your brain is going to be overloaded with nerves being really unhappy, and that's the least of the nerves
fair.
Going
right,
off.
Right.
And then I think with something like a croc, there's going to be so much crushing force and damage, and then if they are going to drag and possibly roll, and so something like a limb being severed off,
stop drag and roll.
You're probably going to be aware of much of that. So I think that's probably more painful.
The alligator, emotionally?
Having a crocodile, yeah.
Croc.
Having a croc get you is probably worse. But I think in either case, you know, it's not a good day for you.
I shouldn't have asked that. That whole answer upset me the whole
time. You've done this a few times, actually, where you ask a question, and then immediately when he starts answering you, you regret it.
But here's the thing to think about, right, is the number of people killed by sharks is tiny. Like, it's a really
compared
small
to
number.
Crocodiles?
Something. Oh, it's only a few individuals per year that are actually killed by sharks.
Hmm.
And crocs,
but
like,
on the way
in the U.S.,
the
it's incredibly rare for someone lake. To die. And in the U.S., it's alligators that's the concern here.
Uh-huh.
And it's still quite rare for somebody to
wait, do you know which is
be...
killed more? Crocodilians or sharkadilians?
Definitely not what it's called.
I don't know. And it'd actually be really hard to get some of the data on that because some of the places where you're most worried about people dying as a result of like croc. So like saltwater or Nile croc attacks, the reporting is going to be pretty poor. So like isolated places in say northern Australia where say there's like Aboriginal populations, those reports
they don't talk
might,
about it.
Those reports might not get back. And in isolated areas in Africa, it may not make it into like the mainstream literature.
Right.
Being recorded as a,
and the other thing is you oftentimes don't know, right? Like, you know, you're in a village, somebody went out to wash their clothes and they never came back. And it's like, well, you know, what did it, you know? And so that's where these stories all come from, right? You don't know. Maybe they were just like, you know, my girlfriend lives in the next village over. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Or maybe they got taken out by a python, or maybe they got taken out by a croc, or maybe.
Oh, so we're saying missing persons may have also been killed by sharks.
You don't know, right? I mean, in, that's the situation in these sort of village settings. Is it, you may not know,
is
right?
Is it nature or Beth?
Yep.
Like the girlfriend.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. His girlfriend. Or was it the big lights of New York City? Just wanted to leave. Okay, there's a line where he says that like primitive cultures deified crocs.
Oh,
that
yeah.
they worship them more than Jesus. Is there validity to that?
Oh, that yeah, certainly.
Okay, I didn't know about
that. Oh, easily, yeah. I mean, Jesus has only been, you know, in people's minds for the last couple thousand years.
Jesus is a rookie.
And then, yeah, I mean, he's, I mean, relatively new to the scene. I mean,
like, yeah.
Realistically, like, if you just think about the length of sort of, you know, human history, Jesus is a recent arrival.
It's like Ariana Grande versus years. Mariah Carey.
Right.
Mariah Carey
is the croc.
The first croc now.
Yeah. A lot in common with a croc.
And so,
wrong crowd for an Ariana Grande.
Yeah, and so,
joke,
so lots of cultures.
Well, you don't know who's listening to this.
So, yeah, lots of cultures globally, right, are going to be, I mean, this is a major predator.
Mm-hmm.
Human cultures tend to be associated with water, right? Because you need access to water.
Absolutely.
So this is something that you're going to get exposed to in places like Africa and places like South America, places, you know, Central America, Asia, et cetera. So it's not at all uncommon for many of these cultures to then, in some way or another, recognize the existence of this major predator as part of their own, you know, religious or other aspects of their society. Totally standard. I mean, go look at, you know, the Getty right now, you know, has a whole exhibit on Egypt. The California Science Center does as well. I mean, go to any place that's got an exhibit on Egypt, and you don't have to go through too many pieces in an exhibit on Egypt before you come across a croc.
Wow.
And those
what
are
about
Nile
alligators?
Crocs. Well, those will be Nile crocs. So alligators, it's certainly like if you look at like Native American cultures here in North America, so you look at like the Seminole Indians, for example, and absolutely, there's a lot of respect and a lot of interest in alligators there because that's a group that's certainly, you know, overlapping with their territory.
And they said that Jesus is not important to them?
You know, Jesus was a very late arrival there, you know?
All right. I just wanted to say that sentence, I guess. Sounded funny in my head. He's attracted, I'm saying he because they called him a he in the movie. He's attracted to the sounds of baby crocs.
Oh, yeah, in peril, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or like, hatchlings.
So, right, hatchlings, they say.
Okay, so two things there. First of all, he probably was a he.
Okay.
So we see in...
You saw...
We see his dick in
I
one
was
going to
say, is there a croc penis?
We don't ever see a croc penis.
Croc cock.
But they get much bigger.
Penis.
Let's be clear about what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Male... So in crocodilians, the males are usually bigger than the females. So this is supposed to be this massive, huge croc.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's way... It's
Zach's
way...
Done.
Hearing cock every time you say croc.
Yeah. Add,
Zach's
the,
out.
Add the R. Five letters there.
Hard R.
The males tend to be much larger than females,
uh-huh.
And so this is supposed to be this absolutely massive crocodile. Presumably, it's a male. That the one who shows up at the end, who then, you know, becomes spaghetti sauce.
Ooh, another female character.
That's probably a female. Yeah, with like all of like 8 seconds of airtime. Yeah, and so that's so. A, they got that part right. That like that's it. Probably is a male. You can call that one a he.
Okay.
The
babies.
And then the. Do they respond to the calls? So whether or not the males would respond to those distress calls is somewhat debatable.
Mm-hmm.
It's most commonly observed with the females. So it turns out that
makes sense.
Yeah, crocodilian moms are really dedicated moms.
Mm-hmm. My mom is a crocodile.
And it may be a really dedicated
mom. Tough exterior.
Tough bitch.
But if I'm whining.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. She murders everyone around.
She will bite the head off a deputy.
Oh, yeah. That is that moment, right? They pull it up. And I love that, too, because he bit clean bite.
Clean bite.
Head off. also in the boat. Like,
yep.
It was just for fun.
So people know, like, the scene here is the deputy sheriff is pulling up an aquatic speaker that is broadcasting sounds
of me
distress
yelping.
Sounds yeah. of Zach baby did, crocs.
Actually, it's very cool.
That was my first IMDb.
Yeah,
credit.
He did ADR on that, which is very cool. Look it up.
And so they pull that up, and then the croc follows that right up to the boat and lunges at whatever it sees as a potential threat, and it happens to be the deputy and takes
Deputy's
off his head.
Head.
And so the likelihood that a male would show such a dramatic response is not very high, but female crocodilians absolutely will respond to distress calls of their young.
Well, that could have been the female at that point. We don't really see it.
Oh, fair point. We don't know. Yeah, good point.
And it was a really bad sound effect. I think it was like chomp or crunch.
Someone
like,
said chomp.
Yeah.
Chomp.
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 I didn't even hear that part. I was like too busy cheering and laughing.
It's good.
That was such a great scene.
Okay. He says that they have one natural enemy, which is man. Is that true or is there something that kills crocs?
Oh, yeah. When a croc gets to be a big adult croc, there's basically nothing else that can take it out other than like people with guns. But when they're smaller, there's huge numbers of things that take them out.
Right. Yes. I also have that like 99% of crocs when they're little get killed or
eaten. Totally. Everything's eating them, you know? Right. Even with alligators, like here in the U.S., you've got snakes that are taking them out. Whoa. You've got like herons that are definitely taking them out. Oh, yeah. Even
is
like
a
things,
bird?
Great blue heron.
Yeah. Okay. Scoops them up.
Oh, it's nailing them left and right. Yeah.
Wow. Like those sea turtles that have to crawl to the ocean.
Yeah, most of those die. Right?
I mean, that's the thing. Like, same thing, right? Sea turtle, big sea turtle. Nothing's eaten a big sea turtle other than people.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're young, not everything's eating you.
Wow.
You know? And so the same thing for these like small crocs. And then the other thing you have to worry about is, especially for like these males, is they're territorial and they will defend their territories against other males.
Mm.
And so it's not at all uncommon. Like you go to the southeastern U.S. and you start looking at things like alligators. It's not at all uncommon to see like an alligator that's missing a limb.
Wow.
And same thing, crocs all over the place.
Is
you'll
it
see.
Really 99%?
That's what it said on the
I wish humans had
internet.
The same survival rate.
You wish 99% of us were not around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean
you'd
think
be a good group.
You think historically,
that's true.
Right? I mean, go back 200 years and the human survival rate was a whole heck of a lot lower than it is now.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah, that's true.
And only for like 22 years. What a dream.
Yeah.
I wish I had gone out around that age.
so negative.
Yeah.
No.
No, it's fun.
I see death as a release.
Yeah, it's fun. We can't wait. So what was the other one? It says that their night vision is very good, that they're mostly nocturnal hunters. Is that correct?
I didn't know that.
Night vision
true.
Being that doesn't make much sense because
well,
they're
he was wearing night vision goggles.
Well, I got this off the internet, a lot of this.
So I don't.
Who knows?
I mean, if your vision in the day is really poor, then you know, and because it's all murky, I don't see how you're going to suddenly in the same murky water be able to see better at night.
Oh, okay.
But do they have better vision at night?
No, I mean, there's no reason to think that they would.
Okay.
The only thing that I would say is that. Certainly they're more active. You see a lot of activity
at night.
That's certainly the case. And particularly sort of in many of these species are kind of crepuscular, meaning that like deer are crepuscular, meaning that they're active sort of in the dawnish hours and they're active in the dusk hours. Yeah.
Wow,
so you got like diurnal, active during the day, nocturnal, active at night. And then if you're sort of active, you know, in the early morning hours and in the late evening hours, we call that crepuscular. So there's lots of these crocodilians that you see a big period of activity there. And of course that makes sense because when like Nile croc, for example, or saltwater croc, when are these like big mammals and even birds and other things, when are they coming into the water?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're going to be coming into the water early in the morning or right around dusk. And so it makes sense to be active then because your best chance of encountering prey item, you know, is that exact same time. But yeah, you'll also
grab,
see some nighttime activity.
Prey! Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed the commercial break.
It is dusk.
It is dusk, and you know what that means. Anything else we want to cover? Do you have any other questions? I had a question about the bear. I don't know if we should even cover it, but the crocodile eats a bear at one point.
That was a great scene, too.
Oh, my God.
So I was just curious, like, do they actually eat bears? Does that happen?
Or mooses?
I don't see why it wouldn't be possible for something like an alligator to take out a small bear.
Okay.
They certainly overlap in their range. The only thing I don't know is that that was a huge bear.
Very big bear,
And I didn't really get enough of a look at that bear to tell whether it was a grizzly. So the first image of the bear is actually, I think, is a real bear. Whoa. And then the bear that gets taken, it switches to
CGI, right?
But the first bear, like when it stands up and
that
I think was a real bear. And I think
it was
that
a brown bear.
Brown in color, but it was also huge.
The most polite way to correct you. It was brown, technically.
But brown bear is another name for the grizzly bear.
Wrong.
Oh,
so
okay,
grizzly bear is a type of brown bear.
Sure.
But black bears can also be brown in a variety of other colors.
Oh.
And so...
It's interesting.
There's nowhere where brown bears and... like meaning grizzly bears and alligators overlap in their range, at least at this point. But they certainly, alligators overlap with black bears, and I don't see why, like, a young black bear or even, like, 100, 150-pound black bear couldn't be taken out in, like, you know, somewhere in the southeastern U.S.
Oh, great. What about how the whole thing is started because they find a tooth in the torso? Is it likely that he lost a tooth on this squishy human?
So, not super likely.
No, go ahead.
So, this happens a lot more with sharks. So sharks lose
like
their teeth and replace them. That's why
they have
so many teeth. So it's not at all uncommon that like a shark bites something and it loses a tooth. Mm-hmm. It's not at all uncommon that a snake bites something and loses a tooth.
One of your snakes.
None of my snakes have ever bitten me, but I have previously had pet snakes that, have nipped me once or twice.
And you currently own snakes?
Yeah, three
snakes,
right now.
He said.
But wild.
And they're all over 20 years old. I've had them for a long time.
What if he's
old
like,
snakes.
Hang here, and he pulled it out.
Yeah, I'd be like, get the hell out of here.
I would
they're
be
all
outdoor.
Super friendly. Yeah. They're not venomous. They're
okay,
all
but so
venomous.
Not very likely
but
that
it's not
croc
very likely that
would lose
croc,
a tooth.
Or any, you know, a crocodilian of any type would necessarily lose. It's not particularly likely. It can happen. They do lose teeth over time, but
got it.
So like a really old croc is like has very few teeth.
Got it. Okay. Anything you guys would like to plug? Would you like people to come visit the Natural History Museum?
Yeah, I mean, and if people are not here in the LA area, go visit your local Natural History Museum.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're here in the LA area, absolutely come visit. We actually have several museums in the area. So the Natural History Museum, and then part of that Natural History Museum group. And I should say the Natural History Museum is in Exposition Park, right across the street from USC. And then we have the La Brea Tar Pits and Museum.
Oh, yeah.
Which is another fantastic museum and is really one of the world's best Ice Age fossil sites. And so if you like live here in LA and you haven't been there, you need to check it out. It's amazing. We also get lots of international visitors coming to both of those places.
Great.
And there's actually a smaller museum, which is like a Western history museum that's up in Newhall.
Mm-hmm.
And that's called the Hart Museum. And so for people who are here in LA, check it out. It's actually some really interesting early like Western and silent film history.
Wow. Okay. Zach, you've been to those places? You've been to the tar pits?
Yeah, like all the time. I just came from them.
Are you not?
I just came from Newhall.
I don't believe you.
No, I actually don't. I feel like Newhall, like I did a mic there or something. Like but how far away is Newhall?
You know, without traffic, it's like a 40-minute drive. It's just Santa Clarita.
With traffic, it's about a week.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
With traffic, you'll die of dehydration.
But I've been to the tar pits.
Oh, okay. Great.
Yeah,
I've been in the tar pits too, and I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was awesome. Okay. You have something? Shows?
I'm opening for Sofia Nino de Rivera. She's a huge Mexican comedian. I'm opening for her U.S. tour in October and November.
Great.
Dates all over the U.S. New York, Chicago, San Francisco, L.A.
Awesome.
So just look up Sofia Nino de Rivera.
Well, where can people find you?
Oh, Zach Noe Towers everywhere. ZachNoeTowers. Instagram, Twitter.com.
Instagram, Twitter.com. So go to Instagram, Twitter.com.
One word.
Search Zach Noe Towers.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining me. I had a great time. This flew by for me.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll just do 5 more of these for each of the Lake Placid sequels.
I think we should skip right to Legacy.
Yeah, the latest one, which looks so bad.
Yeah. I accidentally saw 2 minutes of that.
That's right.
And you're like, can't be this.
Yeah, we sent Greg the wrong link.
For a genre I love, that was a rough 2 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Guys, if you haven't seen any of them, just watch the 1999 classic.
Mm-hmm.
Lake Betty White, Placid. You can't go wrong.
Betty White.
Yeah.
Betty White's Lake Placid.
Betty White's Lake Placid. All right. See you next time. Bye. Bad Science is hosted and produced by me, Ethan Edinburgh. Our associate producer is Megan Bates, and the executive Lake Placiducer is Brett Kushner. I want to thank Kim and Aaliyah for helping me on the intro. I know it was a lot to ask for them to go on that boat, but I think it paid off. Definitely check out our Instagram at Bad Science Show and send us an email at badscience@seeker.com. That's badscience@seeker.com. Give us some movie recommendations or just general thoughts on the show, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.